You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show. This is episode 104, I Spy. I am Matt Lieberman, and joining me as always on the panel is the fantastic and talented Miss Kristen Carroll.
Hey, guys.
And we're talking about this episode. A lot of crazy stuff happened. We had some cool new technology. We had a rogue agent who was being controlled. We've got the makings of a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. We got some romantic tension. I want to just talk about the opening, which I really, really liked. We see Stockholm, and there's just this flood of dudes with briefcases and red masks.
It was a little freaky. And also reminded me of that dance crew.
Right? A lot. I was really hoping, because I was like, oh man, these guys are up to no good. But part of me was really hoping that they'd get into the square and then all of a sudden a song would break out and they'd just be a flash mob.
Yeah.
And that was like a big distraction. And then we'd see like something happen instead. Instead, they were all a blind. One of them was carrying a bunch of diamonds. Mm-hmm. And Akila, an ex-protege of Coulson's, has been wired with this incredible technological marvel of an eye that can see through stuff, through backscatter.
I feel like Nick Fury should have this, too.
Totally. Totally. Well, that might be in the cards, because now they have the technology. I mean, what's left of it after it blew itself up.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if they can look at that anymore.
Well, you know, they
no pun intended.
They at the very least tapped into the feed, so they know something about it.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, so like, as fans of the show, we're watching it develop, right? And we felt, I think collectively as a fandom, that it's gotten better from episode to episode so far.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this episode felt like a step back.
From last episode, I agree. I still enjoyed it, but yeah, I didn't feel like as connected to it. It was another story, and again, we didn't learn really anything about any of the characters except the rogue agent and a little bit about Coulson.
Yeah, I think the second half was far better than the first half. It was far more active. The things that bothered me about the first half, and I think they kind of speak to why we might not feel as connected to the show as we should.
Mm-hmm.
After Melinda said specifically last week, I want back into the field. I want to be able to help the team. I'm tired of being on the sidelines. I want in,
mm-hmm.
you know, all in. And then she's on the sidelines again, immediately. And the
old
van,
habits die hard.
Yeah. She's just stuck in the bus for the whole episode. She gets like one bit of cool action when she disobeys orders
mm-hmm.
and goes and tries to fight Akila.
I like that.
You know, I like that too, because that's very her.
Yeah.
But the show is kind of wishy-washy on what it wants to do and what it wants to be. And it bothers me that Fitzsimmons and Sky got completely sidelined. Like they're in the van, and then they realize that Akila's watching them, and then they're just completely helpless as she just pushes them off the road. And I'm like, why is this the team that Coulson picked? I want them to be great at their jobs and to be awesome and an elite force of agents that I can really trust when I go to sleep at night, as I do in the Marvel Universe, because I exist there, you know.
Of course.
When I go to sleep at night, I want to feel better knowing that this team is out there protecting us. And I think it's why Fitzsimmons, even though they're so smart and so capable, mm-hmm. it bothers me that they often feel ineffectual and that they're so panicky about danger, because I want them all to be able to handle this stuff and I don't always feel like they're capable.
There has to be something that Coulson saw in them, and I think, again, since now S.H.I.E.L.D. has gotten picked up for 22 full, you know, episode right. season, that they will, you know, dive into each character and will kind of know what Coulson saw in them to bring them on the team. Because as we see, he doesn't bring just anybody. He's got people with potential and all that kind of stuff. And maybe that'll also be a driving point as to, you know, they're teaching Sky how to use a weapon. Maybe we should also teach Fitz and Simmons.
I would not want Fitz to get his hands on a gun. That sounds like a terrible idea.
Maybe something controlling a gun.
Well,
that might be good.
That might be
like
good.
Like a video game.
And I mean, he knows how to make them. He built his night gun.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which that was a funny scene.
Which that's good because it's also good for him. They said in case he misses something.
Yeah.
So maybe he made that mostly for himself and he's just pawning it off on.
Oh, totally. Unboard. No, he needs something to make sure that even if he misses, he's not going to kill anyone.
Yeah.
Because that would be terrible.
He should just get a taser or something.
Yeah. Well, he'd probably get nervous and screw that up.
Tase himself.
Yeah.
Aww.
So I want
to... I just want to give him a hug. I feel bad.
I know. And I don't want to rag on him too much because that's the thing. You know, you were telling me before the show that Jeff Loeb, who's the head of Marvel Television.
Yeah, Marvel exec.
Yeah.
He answered a bunch of questions, and I found it on TVLine.com if you want to read more on there. But he was saying that it's something, you know, they've been treating the first four episodes specifically kind of like a pilot because they didn't know that they were going to get picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really want to delve into characters then, but he said that they'll definitely do it now. And some of the other hints was there's definitely going to be a greater evil out there that they're going to focus on. It may have something to do with the rising tide. It may not, although rising tide will cause complications.
Sure.
And he wanted to focus. Sorry, my throat's a little scratchy, you guys, so I apologize today. On four different groups of people about them being gifted. There might be aliens, also a tech group, and then espionage. And that was the four main things that he wanted to split different episodes in. And then also explore new characters. So I think this having the rogue agent, having the asset, having, you know, the unidentified piece we had in the second one, and then Mike Peterson, I think that pattern is going to continue, almost like a CSI or Law and Order where you have a different case each week. I don't think it's going to be... And within those, then you learn about the characters.
Right. It's not going to be uber serialized. And
that's what it sounds like. Yeah. That's what he made it sound like.
Yeah. And I like that part. I love that we're hopping all around the globe. Mm-hmm. Like that reminds me, like brings me back to something like Alias, which felt bigger than a TV show. And, you know, as a Marvel show, it should feel bigger.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're going around the world. And I think having those four different types of threats very much are what sets it apart from other shows about people who save the world, you know.
And today we've met the alien, potentially.
Potentially.
Well, because they talked about...
Yeah, you're right. And
the sign, so we don't know who was controlling these people.
Yeah.
And it's totally in the realm of Marvel.
Well, the characters on the wall, I mean, this is jumping ahead, but, you know, on the blackboard, looked almost Chitauri to me. I know we only saw like kind of like inscribed on their helmets in the Avengers. So, you know, folks at home, let me know if I'm wrong or if you think I'm right or what have you. But I think that could very much be a Chitauri
reference
influence. Maybe like we don't know what this lab specifically was doing. I like the threat that's set up here because it's separate, I think, from Rising Tide or... It's far more sinister than Rising Tide. I'm glad that we didn't get it all sewn up at the end of the episode. We have this thread dangling. They have technology that's far more advanced than anything that S.H.I.E.L.D. can build. And maybe that's what points to it maybe being an alien influence, being more technologically advanced in the construction of this, you know, all-seeing eye.
Yeah, and that they were able to place that in her and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Fitz and Simmons were taken aback by that and...
They were awestruck by this thing. And they're, you know, some of the smartest cookies in all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s cabinet, if you will.
Now you're just making me hungry.
I'm way too proud of that analogy. I'm way too proud of it. I'm like, I'm downright chuffed. And that's no good. I want to get into it and talk about Coulson. Mm-hmm. He's really attached to Akila. She was his protege. Sky keeps kind of comparing his relationship with Akila, with her relationship, her relationship with Coulson, and also her relationship with Ward, her SO, mm-hmm. and we'll get into them a bit later. But he's not acting rationally. He's not acting rationally. He's trying to protect her. He thought that she was dead, and he's relieved that she's alive. He's terrified for her safety. He's kicking himself for maybe pushing her too hard, and that's why she's apparently snapped and is, you know, doing all these robberies, potentially killing all these people. And the relief he must have felt, relief and fear at the same time, to discover that she's being controlled by someone else and that it's like, not her.
Thank God it's not me. Yeah. I didn't do this to her.
Exactly.
It's some outside source for years mm-hmm. that have been doing this. And I do think he's right when Sky was saying that, oh, you know, I am similar to her. And I think he dotes on her like, you know, the same different way. But Sky has a way more, you know, humorous relationship with Coulson.
She calls him, she keeps calling him Phil. He's like, don't call me Phil. All
AC.
Right. Yeah. AC. No, don't call me that. Why not? Just call me Coulson. I just want to be Coulson.
But you're cool. AC is cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. AC does keep you cool. But
that's true.
But his relationship with Sky is very different from the relationship that he has with Akila, because his style is very different. It seems like he was far harder on Akila and was more of a drill sergeant with her mm-hmm. and would dress her down. When they bring her in, she's like shocked that he's being so sensitive with her and that he's not giving her a dressing down for, you know, getting her team killed or for winding up in this situation with this eye. You know, he's actively trying to help her instead of bringing her down, which makes me wonder, you know, who was Coulson before we met him in Iron Man? You know, was he far harsher?
Even in Iron Man, although he had his, you know, comedic tendencies, it's not nearly as fleshed. Well, obviously, it's not nearly as fleshed out because that section is about Robert Downey Jr.
Sure.
And Tony Stark. And this is about Coulson. And so we're able to see more of that. But even there, he was a lot more regimented than you see. And you saw it throughout each Marvel movie that he made an appearance in, that he came a little bit more connected to the characters until Avengers, when you find out that he's hanging out with Pepper Potts talking about his dates.
Yeah.
And but just at the beginning, I mean, he was a fun, regimented person, but he slowly, you know, you learn more about him.
Yeah.
So I think we saw a little bit of that regiment.
I agree. I mean, he was far more fun-loving by the time we got to him in Avengers. He mm-hmm. was very stiff when we first met him. And it's really just a compliment to how well Clark Gregg plays him that we were so charmed by him even at the start.
Yeah.
And then I want to touch briefly on, so at the end of the episode, Akila is saved, you know, thank goodness she finally can just go to sleep and be left alone.
I did like that moment. I know it was probably
a little sweet,
a little too sweet, but I liked it. I was very glad for her because they made it a point that even though she is going to trial and it's not necessarily going to be great for her right now.
Yeah.
She's in another cell. She did get to have some sleep. She doesn't have somebody controlling her.
Yeah.
And that was really peaceful.
I want to talk about the moment though, where she asks Melinda, what did you do to him? What did you do to Coulson? She's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, oh. And I think that she used her X-ray eye on Coulson and saw that he ain't real inside. That's what I'm thinking.
That's interesting.
Because we don't actually
see her.
Well,
now they have the glasses, too.
That's true. That we have the glasses. We essentially have the technology. So I'm wondering, did she see inside of Coulson? Was that being recorded? And I'm curious, if anyone goes back to this episode, can you check and tell and let us know? Do you see a moment where she actually looks into him? Because mm-hmm. I didn't catch that, but but that's my theory.
I think the only time that necessarily would have happened would be in the hotel room.
In the hotel room, that happened really quickly.
But I think though when he I guess when they're talking though, she still had the eye in her.
Yeah, she still. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like in the interrogation cell, she still had the eye in her. The feed that was being fed back to her handler, who sadly was also just a pawn in this terrible game, mm-hmm. Her feed had been hijacked, but the eye still worked. So I'm wondering if she looked into him and saw something.
I definitely didn't think about that. I just thought it was something because he...
He just seems different.
He seemed different, and maybe old Coulson would not have gone back for somebody. And then here he is, and he made that extra step to make sure that she was safe. And maybe he was all about just S.H.I.E.L.D. and going by the book. Because you could even tell Melinda was conflicted with that. I mean, they had problems.
Yeah, totally.
So I thought maybe that was the reason why. Like, why is Coulson being so nice to me?
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I know that I feel like I'm a broken record. But the sooner that Coulson starts to suspect that something is up, the sooner his character will get infinitely more interesting.
I think he's in the denial state right now.
Ooh. Well, I want that played more. You know what I mean? Speaking to Jeff Loeb's comment about these episodes feeling like four pilots totally makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the exception of Sky joining the team and sort of her arc through them, any of them could have been a pilot for this show. And we haven't seen the other characters get an opportunity to really change in any way and evolve.
Yeah, they really haven't.
And I think that's why, you know, Coulson maybe felt off to a few people at the start or something like that. Because even though we were learning more about his past, we've not seen him change, really, since the Avengers. You know, we're talking about how stiff and regimented he was when we first met him, and we saw his character evolve and become, like, nerdier and sweeter by the time we lost him in Avengers. Mm-hmm. And now he's kind of somewhere in between and hasn't really changed at all since we reintroduced him. And I want to see him start to evolve a bit.
But if he's a robot, he can't.
But
I'm being semi-sarcastic there.
But if he's a robot who's sentient, then what does that even mean for his psychology? Like, that's got to be such a trip. And I want to see... I know we all love Coulson, but I want to see him suffer. I want to see him suffer because it will ultimately make him stronger and more interesting as a character. Because right now, I just have, like, I have a love for him, but I'm kind of bored by him. And I don't want that to be how I feel about Phil Coulson, because I love Phil Coulson and I want the best for Phil Coulson. But that also means he needs to go through some stuff before he can be infinitely more interesting as a person.
I think that's to come.
Yeah.
Definitely. Honestly, it's just a waiting game at this point.
Yeah.
And they're filming stuff right now, and they were live tweeting, which was hilarious. I don't know if you follow them on Twitter, but
no.
they all were live tweeting at the same time, different things. And they were all on set too. There were pictures of them sitting there all on their, you know, cell phones,
mm-hmm.
doing stuff. And so I think it's good that we'll see more of that grow. And then I liked actually that the cast like each other.
That they're bonding.
They're all tweeting each other.
Yeah.
That they all went to New York Comic Con, and it just seemed like it was a lot of fun. So
great.
I was reading a lot of that kind of stuff. So it's good to see the chemistry there. I think that'll only help them and help us connect with them more if they connect with each other.
Absolutely. You know, that kind of chemistry, it's palpable, and it's something that you can't manufacture. And to have a cast really fall in love with each other and, you know, become a family will make it's much more fun to watch them bounce off each other on the screen, and it'll make it that much easier for the writers to tap into what makes each of them great and makes them great together. I want to move on to Sky and Ward this week.
Speaking of relationships together.
I know. Looking at him through those x-ray specs and liking what she saw.
Okay, we saw Sky wet in a dress for you.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we have seen... he doesn't have to be the whole thing. Just...
Yeah.
Show through the glasses, just through the top a little
bit. Because that's an effect shot, and it costs more money. Red dress, $20 at Target. Effect shot, $15,000.
We need some water on Ward pronto.
Yeah.
Just to even out the
playing
field.
Exactly. Why couldn't it have been, you know, like a lady at that desk that he had to seduce and have him, you know, like just pop off the shirt for a hot second?
I think he should have tried that with the guy anyway.
That would have been funny. But it was so funny seeing him so uncomfortable. Like, how about the game last night in Russian? And it's just like, he's terrible. This guy, and Sky made jokes about it for the whole episode. It's so true. He's so robotic. He doesn't know how to relate to people. And like, to see him fail so miserably at like broing out with this Russian guy was just like, was such a great use of what could be a drawback to the character. Like, it's addressing the fact, yeah, he's robotic. He's not happy about that. Well, he wants to be more of a man's man, I'm sure.
I wonder if he just was kind of socially awkward growing up. Just maybe, you know, we learned that his older brother used to pick on him and his younger brother, but I wonder if it goes a little bit deeper than that even.
Yeah.
That kind of held him back from society because he doesn't know how to talk to people.
And maybe that's why he became, you know, like a physically fit killing machine. Is because, you know, like, I will never feel that helpless ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a nice window into his psyche there. And I think that's why he's drawn to Skye, as she's another outcast. Mm-hmm. You know, all these folks, they're outcasts for their own different reasons.
Well, and I did think it was funny that he's like, so I had two Ukrainian women the other night, you know what I mean, didn't get much sleep. You just tell this guy he's probably hasn't been out of that office in forever, so he's probably PO'd at this very attractive guy coming in with these girl stories.
He's like, I'd be lucky to get one Ukrainian girl. Damn it. My wife hates me, and she's twice my size. Yeah, exactly.
Been stuck in this room. What do you think I'm doing?
What do you think I'm doing in here, huh?
Nothing.
I don't even have internet. I get the paper, and I read that in the morning, and then what?
And it's a week's late.
Exactly. See? It's terrible life.
Mm-mm.
I was going to say I want to spin off of that guy. I don't want to spin off of that guy because his life is sad. Mm-hmm. It's very, very sad. I loved this whole, like, not quite heist sequence where the two of them are working together, and Ward can't look in the mirror. And she's kind of his handler.
Mm-hmm.
She's his handler for once. And it's kind of an inverse of what we saw last week. And we got to see Ward doing his thing, but also Skye gaining more confidence. And again, like being more helpless. I laughed out loud when she was like, which way is south? Like she's so...
I did too, because I probably would have said, it would have taken me a second to be like, oh, I can just look at this.
She's so our generation. Mm-hmm. Like she's smart with computers, but outside of that, she doesn't really have the greatest handle on life. She's very much a millennial. And
I'm sure she has on her phone a Compass app.
Literally. So I do three shows on Tuesdays. I do this. I do Sleepy Hollow. And I do Sons of Anarchy. Literally right before I watch the show, I watch Sleepy Hollow. And the Abby Mills, the lead character on that show, pulls out her phone and talks about her Compass app. And I'm like... Compass app! And whatever. She found him and nearly ran him over, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But Compass app, come on.
It goes with the flashlight one on mine.
Yeah.
You got so many things on there.
Exactly.
It's great.
It's like a Swiss Army knife, but also a computer.
I also, this was a really small detail, but I know at one point she had a reference to the rogue agent about this chick went to the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, Star Wars reference. Now ABC, Disney, just throwing all of it in there.
She's like girl Xander.
Yeah.
But yes. Oh, yeah. Corporate synergy. You wacky Disney kids. Anyway, just real quick before we move on, I just want to talk briefly about iTunes. Thank you so much to everybody who's been reaching out on YouTube and on iTunes. I tried my best this week to respond to every comment on YouTube.
I saw. I was like, wow, well done.
Yeah, well, I like to foster a conversation. We'd love it if you would watch our show live and live tweet us. That would be amazing. But if you can't, hit us up on the YouTube. Hit us up on the iTunes. Let us know your theories. Let us know what you think about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what you think about our show, ways we can make it better, or the things that we do that you love that we can do more of. Thank you for keeping us in the top 10 for the fourth week in a row. We have the best fans in the world, and we would love it if you could give us some 5-star ratings on the iTunes. It makes us more searchable. It lets our bosses know that you love us and you want more and you want guests and you want set visits. Let's make it all happen. I just want to give a quick shout out to one of my Twitter followers, Joe Mama 1969, who says he hopes to like this show. When he stops watching, he will keep listening to the wrap-ups. He enjoys them. I hope that you stick around and you never stop watching, even though I'd love to have you as a wrap-up watcher or listener, even if you do stop. But I will not lose hope. Neither should you. Every week, we're getting closer to the show we know this show can be and that we have the utmost hope for. And it's going to kick so much butt when it finally coalesces, when you got a beast of this size, it takes time to wrangle it.
Yeah. And again, 22 episodes.
Exactly.
For every show that I've started, you know, here or whatnot, it's like, I'm going to give it a season.
Yeah.
You know, any of the pilots, like, I want to see a season, see if I like it for that, and then if I connect or not connect.
Totally. And I think we're all going to be really, really excited with what this show gives us later this fall and definitely in the spring when they're like, okay, we know what this show is. Let's sprint. And it just
goes. Let's take it to the next level.
Exactly. All right. We touched a little bit on Melinda, but I want to talk about where we think she is, you know, psychologically. Because she has a relationship with Coulson that we've seen glimpses of. They have a fun little moment at the top. Where she talks about the reason why she loves flying is the solitude. And that kind of gives her an interesting parallel to Akila, who honestly, after being trapped in that cage for 4 years and then being set free and having to do all this horrible stuff, she just wants to be left alone. And I'm wondering what horrors Melinda must have witnessed to want to be off the grid so badly.
Yeah. And I wonder if we'll learn that or if we'll see it in flashbacks. They haven't really done any flashback yet.
That's true.
So I don't know if that's something that they're planning to do or we'll just slowly get little tidbits about things.
I feel like it's a Joss Whedon produced show. We're going to get some flashbacks because, I don't know, I'm just having...
Maybe a musical.
I would love an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. musical. I would love it. I'd love it. I'd love it. And then do it again in the second season.
I feel like Ward should sing Be a Man to
to
Sky.
No.
Or...
yeah. No, you totally have to get it. Please. You have Mulan on the show.
She could be in there too, but he's the one teaching her.
She should hear him, or like he should like play it on a boombox and she should walk by and just roll her eyes.
Or she should be teaching Fitz. That could be her SO.
Yeah.
And then they could sing it.
Yeah, totally. I would love that. Oh, my God. No, Melinda being Fitz's badass drill instructor is hysterical.
I can feel like a YouTube parody video being made right now.
Oh, totally. Yes. Or at the very least, like, I want to, like, I don't know what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan fiction is out there. On Sleepy Hollow, the actors sometimes tweet out some of the fan fiction.
Really?
So I'm curious if that pairing has occurred yet. I don't know. If you find anything, send it to us on Twitter.
Yeah, please do.
Please do, so we can read it on the show. So Melinda kind of brushes up against Coulson's authority this week. She goes, she's going to take out Akila because she feels that Coulson's kind of got a blind spot for this girl and he's not being logical. This woman is a weapon. She's dangerous. How can you let her run around? She's endangering all of us. We got to take her out. And they have a kick-ass fight scene. Which was great.
I love that when she hit all the lights out, and then you kind of see just the shadow of her.
Yeah, and like you see her instincts. She's trying to figure out where she is.
She's in that stance.
Yeah, she's ready to go, but she can't see her pick up the gun. And for a second, it might have all been over if not for good old boy AC jumping in there with the night-night gun.
I was actually wishing that they would have played that out more, just to put more action in there, and especially because I love Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been cool to almost see it from Melinda's point of view.
Oh, totally.
Like, how freaky would that have been to just kind of hear,
just
briefly, I mean, it doesn't have to be this huge segment, but just they could have played that out more.
Totally. No, I agree with you, and I'm hoping that this is the end of Melinda being sidelined. I almost want Coulson to learn how to fly the bus so that he can maybe stay on the bus and she can go out and kick butt.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love Coulson.
So you're going to put Coulson on the short bus then?
Yeah, I'm putting Coulson on the short bus.
And if you watch the episode, the short bus is what they called.
Called the van.
The van.
Yes. there are a lot of great laugh lines in this episode. And that's the thing, like, as long as the comedy's coming, it will always be entertaining. I want to talk about our king and queen of comedy, Fitzsimmons.
Fitzsimmons.
Yes.
First of all, Fitz being scared of every eyeball thing that was going on actually cracked me up.
Yeah. And I loved their surgery eyewear with the light up shades. And the two of them having to get over their fear of doing all this stuff. And Simmons is trying to administer that needle of local anesthetic. And Akilah's like, allow me, and just plunges it right into her eye. And we're just like, oh.
And
oh,
Steven in the booth, I can hear him.
Yeah.
Not happy with that.
He's not happy. We weren't happy. And thank God they were able to get the eye out in time before it blew up in that canister. Like, that was a really, really tense moment.
That's good they had that around.
Totally.
Well, no, like, their little moment, and Sky was a part of it in the van, where they call Ward. It's like, how do we go to the bathroom in here? And I know that's kind of a cheap shot for comedy, but I think that's realistic. I think if you are sick in a van and you have to go to the bathroom, you are going to call the person who knows.
It was a long flight.
Yeah. Where is it? And is there any food?
Yeah. And we learned this week how much Fitz loves his pretzels. So, like, we weren't sure, because the first couple of post-credit sequences have all been advancing the plot a little bit.
Yeah, this didn't really do that.
This one was more just about humor. Mm-hmm. It did advance the Sky Ward romance a little bit, or at least show that Sky is saucy and she wants to see some naked Ward, and who wouldn't?
He's very attractive.
Man's built.
I don't blame her.
Yeah. Man's build like a Greek god. Who,
I mean, if you have those, now if the shoe was on the other foot, he probably definitely would have put on the glasses too.
I don't know. I think he has more honor than that.
Well, he was wearing the glasses in the car with her. You don't think he like, oops, I closed my eyes.
Snuck a peek. Well, I mean, you have to blink sometime. No, because he couldn't look at her. He couldn't look at her because then
that's
they would
true.
Know.
Then they would have known.
Exactly.
But then after the fact, when they did know, he still had the glasses on. When she picked him up in the car.
Good point.
And I was actually kind of thinking, like, hey, you should put those glasses down because he can still watch you even though he blew up the eye.
That's true. It's entirely possible.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, take those off.
But now we know that the post-credit sequences can also be used for fun. Fitz trying to scam Ward in their poker game was just a sweet little silly beat. I'm looking forward to see what the show dishes out when it comes back. Unfortunately, so I have to watch the show early in the evening, and I didn't get to see the scenes for next week. I don't know what you saw.
I did watch it, so okay. If you don't want any spoilers and you're listening,
you should leave while we talk
it's about
predictions.
2 minutes.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So in the previews, we see this guy who can create fire. It's kind of another Human Torch-like
a pyrokinetic
subject. So we're going to encounter him, and then we also see at one point Coulson is talking to Sky, very angry with her, and handcuffs her.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
He's like, I am through with you. I can't believe that you've been on here and doing this to us, basically.
Oh, man. Okay, so...
So those were the kind of the... That's in a nutshell.
Yeah. She might be exposed next week, her rising tide connections, and the fact that she was two-timing them. Or could that whole thing be for rising tide's benefit? Because maybe they're watching. I don't know. I'm hearing this out of context.
I tend to think that's more what it is. And then also, I think Coulson will do that without telling her, so to make her reaction seem real. Because in the previews, it looks like she was about to, you know, she was trying to hide, you know, her tears when he was saying that he was through, because as we saw from this episode, she said, you're the first person who had
really
faith
in
me.
Yeah,
believed in me, and that's why I trust you with this agent.
Well, that's the interesting thing, is we still don't know how much Coulson knows about anything. He's keeping all of his cards close to his chest. And I'm curious how much he knows about her rising tide stuff. It sounds like we find out next week. So I'm excited about that. Always love superpowers. Or it might be technology, we don't know. But pyrokinesis is rad, and I can't wait to see it. Do you have any thoughts about what's going to happen next week or going forward?
Going forward, I think even reading that interview that I shared earlier, that there is going to be a bigger bad, I think hopefully that's going to culminate with all these other people that we kind of left hanging.
Yeah.
You know, these potential aliens, Mike Peterson, you know.
Graviton.
Yeah, Graviton. I mean, I think it's all going to kind of come together towards the end of season one.
Oh, man.
And then possibly, this is like a huge prediction, through season two, one of those big things will survive.
Totally.
But I think we'll take down a lot in the process.
Yeah. Well, if we have too many bad guys who escape or in play when the big bad like gets them all, this sounds like a catastrophe of like Avengers proportions. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you are talking about Marvel.
That's
Disney.
True. Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them to do this. It's like a fireworks show where you just have those start with the little ones, then you get a little bit more, then all of a sudden you just have bam, like all at the beginning, and then it's over.
Snap.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
That's what I'm kind of hoping for.
I'm hoping for it, too. That sounds like a lot of fun. Kristen Carroll, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me at KristenCarroll13 on Twitter, and I also do Walking Dead.
Great. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on the Sons of Anarchy and Sleepy Hollow after shows. Thank you guys so much for being here with us tonight, and we will see you next week.
Well, you will not see me, but I will have an awesome fill-in, good friend of mine.
Fantastic. Well, you'll see me and an awesome fill-in next week. Everyone, let us know what you think. Let's keep the conversation going. Have a great night, and I will see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.